Okay, so just continuing in Hilchos Yom Tov. So the it's coming back in. Basically, I want to just try to get some practical stuff now. We discussed some of the background so we could understand some of the halachas. The background being that malachas which are by nature oichel nefesh are mutar. Malachas that have an element of oichel nefesh, we hold our mutar for non-oichel nefesh purposes al tzbitoich. We said that even al tzbitoich, we said that you need to have a good reason why you're doing the malacha. Okay? But let's get into some practical, the most practical shailas that we could cover in about a half hour that people ask all the time about Hilchos Yom Tov, based on the yesodos that we learned. And some of them will answer, some of them will just ask the questions. We're not going to really answer them because there's a lot of different elements and it really depends who you ask. So, b'nogea, the malacha of lighting a fire on Yom Tov. The malacha of lighting a fire on Yom Tov is mutar, the Gemara says. It's mutar as long as you're doing it for the purpose of eating. So, okay. And it's also mutar as if you're doing it not for the purpose of eating, as long as it's a tzur, which is considered to be shaveh l'chol nefesh, which is considered to be something which is objectively a tzorach. Midirabanan, we paskin. That's true that you're allowed to pass a fire from one to the other, but you're not allowed to create a new fire. Even though you're allowed to have doing the malacha of havara. What's wrong with creating a new fire? It seems like that's a new iser. That's an iser called moilid. You're creating something new, which is creating a fire, and that pashtus is an iser dirabanan. So, therefore, every Yom Tov, basically, I think every Yom Tov, at least once, the following shaila comes up, that something happens to someone's Yom Tov mode, Shabbos, they call it Shabbos mode, but Yom Tov mode on their oven, right? Something happens on their Shabbos mode. It's either the electricity flicks for a second, and that shuts down the whole oven, and it goes back on, but it goes back on without the Shabbos mode, or they forgot to put it on, or they thought they were putting it on, and they put on some other setting. Something messes up with the oven, and bottom line is, after one night, the first night meal, they don't have an oven anymore. So you're allowed to get a guy to turn on the oven for you on Yom Tov. So the answer would be the assumption being that to go to a neighbor, even if you have a neighbor, even if your neighbor is pretty close to you, and even if the neighbor's oven is on, still, to bring and be soymech and rely that you have to go onto your neighbor's oven and warm up all your food by your neighbor. Oh, we had this. We had that once. To be soymech on your neighbor's oven is really not so convenient. And it's not so shaykh because they also need their oven. So when are you going to warm up your food? It's not so shaykh. So memela, if you don't put on your oven, you will not have hot food for Yom Tov. Therefore, you could ask a guy to turn on your oven for you, because turning on an oven, where we're saying, even though you're turning on a new fire, is an Issa Derabana. It's not an Issa Deraisa, and therefore, asking a goy to do an Issa Derabana for you for the purpose of having hot food on Yom Tov is permitted. And therefore, that will be, that's permitted. People, another common question that people ask is if they can light a Yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov. Either a Yahrzeit candle, if they have a Yahrzeit then, or if they forgot to put it on before, or on Yizkor, some people always do it for Yizkor. So you're supposed to do it before Yom Tov. Well, so can you do it on Yom Tov?
Yizkor is the second day.
Right, so can you light a two-day candle specially for Yizkor?
Well, always light the night before. So, the second night,
like what? Why can't you light a two-day candle from before? Really, you should light a two-day candle before Yom Tov, and it should go on to the second day.
Right.
That's really the ideal situation, scenario. But the here's where you have to apply the principle that we're saying. What's the principle? The principle is that it's a non-oichel nefesh malacha. It's not helping you eat, but is it considered an objective need? So it's a need which a lot of people feel to be a need. And the Mishnah Berurah, the Bialacha himself, is not so happy with this. He doesn't feel that it's necessarily justified, but he doesn't want to say that it's usur, really. And therefore, he like, basically, you know...
But if you use that candle for other purposes to cook, like you take that fire...
No,
I mean... I mean, it's supposed to be dedicated to Aish for the neshama.
Right.
That doesn't
happen. Right, I'm saying, yeah, that's an interesting scenario, I'm not sure. Usually the earth, again, you're putting it that, you know. So l'chatchila, I think we had this question once, right, that, you know, someone was in shul, right, remember? Someone was in shul, and it was mincha time. And should I go back now and light the yahrzeit candle, or should I go back when should I do it when I go home? So I recommended that they do it then, to go back before Yom Tov to do it lechatchila. But if not, I think most poskim would say in the end that it's okay to light from an existing candle, obviously the yahrzeit candle. Whether or not, like you know a big, it used to be, you know, whatever it was. It's a big shaila. The poiskim, a lot of poiskim dealt with was with smoking. Like you said, if you're allowed to smoke during, you're not addressing if you're allowed to smoke during the week. But if those are allowed to smoke on Yom Tov, is that considered shavu chol nefesh? Also, not a clear, sakam. I assume it depends who you ask. Now, what about kibui? Now that's an interesting shiloh. What about turning off?
Can you answer that question about the bringing the neighbor in?
So I'm saying it's better to bring. You're allowed to.
Oh, okay.
You're allowed to in that case because you're not going to have another fire. If you could have warm food without it, for example, let's say your oven is on but your stove went off. So if you don't have your stove, you can't warm up your soup. But you'll have your other food will still be hot. That I would say you shouldn't do because it's not as great of a need. The need has to be that without asking the goy, you will not have hot food for Yom Tov. If you could figure out how to have hot food for Yom Tov without asking the goy, then that's what you should do. Okay?
Maybe when you ask the goy, you have to ask him.
No, you can ask him straight out. Yeah.
The same would apply if your air conditioning, your sukkah went out, right? The same thing, you can just...
So it's the same thing.
A surge that affected your oven affected your AC.
Right.
So now you just need someone to pop the little switch so that your AC can turn back on. Just like you need them to go up to your oven.
Right. If it's just popping the switch, then yeah, if you have to have a whole repair.
No.
Then, you know.
Popping the switch, same thing as your oven. You just need someone to.
Right. Yeah. So.
I don't know if they are comparable because you're not supposed to eat in the sukkah if it's not comfortable. So if you have the option not to eat in the sukkah, if it's not comfortable.
That's a sukkah, dude.
Right.
I don't know if you're potter. I mean, you're saying that without an air conditioner, you're potter. You're going on record saying that if you don't have an air conditioner in your sukkah, you're potter.
Yeah, because
you didn't set up your fans.
Well, what's the time to food?
No, so you don't have to have it. No, so any tzorech, that you're not going to be able to have, that's called a tzorech. If your air conditioning is out, and basically it's going to be extremely uncomfortable to eat, also. So that could be a tzarech. That first of all, I don't know if you need a tzarech of achila. As long as it's a tzarech yom.
It's worse to ask a goy to come with a new light, whatever, than you just using an existing one.
No, you're using an existing one as well.
Yeah.
Sure.
In the case of the oven, you have that oven, whatever, but now you want the soup. Also, if you have an existing light.
Fine. You don't need it. That's fine. Yeah. That's mutter. That's mutter. Now, what about kibui? What about extinguishing? So the Gemara discusses extinguishing. The Gemara says extinguishing is a very complicated malach because generally speaking, extinguishing is not a malach which is associated with preparing food. So therefore, it's not clear 100% if there's a heter to extinguish a fire. So you should really avoid putting out fires. Where does this come up? All the time it comes up when the ladies bench lift. So now they have a match. So what do you do with the match? You can't put it out. So you have to just let it go out by itself, which I think if you hold the match straight like this, it will always go out before it hits your finger.
Correct.
That's the
Hopefully.
Well, or you put it on tinfoil. But if you turn, hold it like this, straight up, it will also go out. But you're not allowed to extinguish. Now, where is it negea? What negea is, people ask all the time, the first night of Yom Tov, I left on my stove because I wanted to warm up my soup. I'm not planning on using the stove the rest of Yom Tov. So can I turn it off afterwards? I don't want it. So the answer is no, you're not allowed to, because you're not allowed to do kibui for no reason. Okay? So, now, what is a way out of that? I left it on high because that particular recipe or that particular scenario required me to leave it on high. I don't want it on high the whole Yom Tov for a few reasons. Safety, people will say, or it just creates heat, or just it's a waste, whatever. So what happens? So the next morning I want to put something on, but if I leave it on the high flame, it will burn. So now there's a tzarech achila for the kibui. Right? To extinguish the fire now, I need it for my food. It's not just I'm doing it for no reason. So you're allowed to lower the flame if it's going to protect your food from burning.
While the food is on.
While the food is on, obviously. Yeah. Are you allowed to do that? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Tavkuf Yadalad that you're allowed. Because now you turned kibui into a oichel nefesh dika malacha. Now it's helping your food. So if it's going to burn, you could turn it down. But
not
electric. We're talking about gas now. Right, correct. Good point. Yeah, thank you for clarifying. Because gas, electric, they say, is that the way when you turn it down, really what's happening, let's say you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If it's on 10, which is the highest, to turn it to 6, really what you're doing is turning off 10 and turning on 6. So you're turning it off completely and turning on a new fire. So that's the problem with that. But by gas...
Is that really how it is electrically, or... The electric, it's like turning it off and turning it on.
That's what I've heard. I don't know exactly the Messias, but essentially it's a different circuit. What?
Continuous knobs.
It's a different one?
A resistance.
Right. That's what I heard. I don't know exactly. These things change so fast that it's very hard to keep up with all the technology, so it's hard to know. But, that's what I've heard. So the gas, the electric is different. I'm talking about gas specifically. So the Magen Avraham is a fascinating halacha, and from this comes a huge, very interesting shmooze. I was talking about this in Eretz Yisrael. I saw Rabbi Wright. Here's the story. So the story is that the Magen Avraham says that even though the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have a stove and you have a soup going and it's going to burn, so you're allowed to lower the flame, Zok the Magen Avraham, that's only if you have nowhere else to put the pot. But if you could light another fire next to it, on a lower flame lechatchila, it's better to light a new fire, obviously from an existing, it's better to light a new fire on the lower temperature than to lower the existing fire. That's what the Magen Avraham says. So let's take a very... So in the Magen Avraham's times, I'm not sure how shayach that would have been. But in our time, it's very simple. You have a gas stove, you have two burners. So you left on the big burner. And now you're like, one second, but now I want to put on a little whatever. That big burner is going to burn the food, so I'm going to lower it. So according to the Magen Avraham, simply put, what you should do is no. You should turn on the gas of the burner next to it.
How are you turning on the gas?
If you can, you turn on the gas without an electric, without an automatic, without a lighter. You can
turn on the gas.
And then turn a match.
Yeah,
take a match. Yeah. Turn the gas on the lowest, on the lower temperature that you want. Let's say we said the higher one's on 10. Turn the gas on 4, lechatchila, and then light it with a match from the existing fire. So according to Magen, that would be better. So according to Magen, this whole heter of lowering the flame is not negev nowadays. Because you could always light the one next to you.
You have to say that, you could go to someone else's house. So, even if you... there has to be some limit on how far you have to go to find that extra spot.
Yeah, but it's on your stove. It's in the right there, I'm saying.
But...
Right. I agree with you. Going next door, we addressed that. Going next door is not considered an option. Okay, but I'm saying lighting the other one. Now, why? He says a very logical thing. The Magen Avraham says kibui is not really an oichel nefesh melacha. You're not really benefiting from the kibui, so you're doing a melacha which is not really helping you. But lighting a fire is motel lechatchila. You're allowed to light a fire to cook, so it's better to light a fire to cook than to do kibui to cook, to protect your food. That's the logic of the Magen Avraham. Now, there's a fascinating Igros Moshe.
Oh.
Igros Moshe says, that was in the Magen Avraham's times, where whatever, how are you gonna do kibbuy on there? You're gonna have to like get really involved. You know, take out wood. What are you gonna do? I said, but nowadays, and therefore, it was equal tircha or equal malacha. And if anything, kibbuy was even more complicated. I said, but nowadays, with gas stoves, Rav Moshe says, he holds that it's better to lower the flame than to light a new one.
I thought Rav Moshe held you can even turn completely off. You're just stopping the flow. You have a pilot.
So yeah,
but with a pilot, like the good old days, great. Remember the good
you're
old days?
You're stopping the flow of the
no
gas.
Computers,
you know,
no electricity.
It's
yeah,
there
it's
still.
Forget pilot, even without pilot. So Moshe writes, he says, I really think that even on Shabbos, he writes something like, I hold it's not really called extinguishing to lower the gas. He doesn't say exactly the svara. So the Olam says over that what he meant in the tshuva was, this that Moshe held, that gas is different, is because he held that when you turn off the gas, you're not extinguishing the flame. You're just preventing new gas from coming. He says a lot. He says a svara. What would happen if you have a fire, in the old days, you have a fire with coals, and there's a with wood, and there's a rabbit, whatever, there's a little cat coming, or whatever, dog coming with more wood. And he's about to drop that wood into the fire, and you shoo away the dog. So now, oh, no, no. So now you did kibbuy because you didn't let that wood get burnt? That's not kibbuy. So not letting the new gas come in to continue the fire, Ramosha held, maybe that's not even kibbuy at all. That's not kibbuy. So that's not extinguishing. It's just not letting not letting new gas come in.
It's like a secretion.
Well, it's not associated with the fire. It's just not letting it burn more stuff. It's not letting the fire burn more stuff.
He was touching on something.
So other places came, like in this sefer, they all say, "Well, since it happens immediately, it's called kibbuy. It's not like there's a delay. If there would be a delay, it would be a good svar maybe. But there's no delay, so the mela, it's like you're doing kibbuy right away.
Then the next step is I can shut off my lights.
Right, yeah. Right. So it's very complicated to use this.
Right.
So Ramesha writes in the tshuva. He says, "I have a svara why I think it's not kibbuy." He doesn't write it there. But regardless of my svara, I still think that the Magen Avraham is a chiddush, and you should rather do kibbuy to save your food. But according to his logic, maybe you should just be allowed to turn it off to save your electricity also, on Yom Tov at least. So this shu is written by Rav Moshe. I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I learned this the day before, and the next day by Shacharis, I saw Mordechai Tendler, who's Rav Tendler is Rav Moshe's grandson, who wrote a lot of the tshuvas.
Yeah, he knows that back.
I saw him over there. I saw him over there. So I asked him, "What's the story with this Rav Moshe? What does he mean?" I wanted to hear from him because he says, "Oh, turn off gas and motor gomer. Turn off gas and motor gomer on Yom Tov." Actually, I don't even know why it's also on Shabbos, but that's beside the point. I said, that's what Moshe meant. He said, that's what Moshe meant. And in the family, we passed him like that. But I said, but Moshe didn't want to publicize it. He said, Lemaisa, that's what he meant. That's the Svara. And Lemaisa...
So you can turn it all the way off.
Right. Now, I think that the Olam is not really naive like that.
No.
He said, we don't. He said, if anything, I don't really know why it's also on Shabbos. Like, he said, we don't do it on Shabbos.
No, that svara is limited to the stove. I'm limited to shutting the lights off.
No, that's a different thing.
It's the same svara.
It's not really the same svara. Because there...
You're
breaking it. No, they're different. It's there. It's built in. Here it's from the outside.
People use a barbecue grill. They have a problem. The issue of using it is
how you turn it off. Exactly.
Tell me if you use a long extension from the propane to the grill, that might be indirect enough that that would be okay.
Oh yeah.
To turn the gas off.
Best thing. Thing.
If you have a certain length, because then it delays it.
I mean, right. You know, if there would be a little bit of a delay, it's much easier to understand the svara. As far as there's a certain amount of gas over here, the gas that's coming in is considered not related. See, there's a problem with this in Gush Moshe, because the Gemara says explicitly, the Rav Moshe is a chiddush, because the Gemara says explicitly, if you have a candle, if after all these years of saying Bamei Madlikin Friday night, maybe you could actually know what it means, okay? So after, there's a Mishnah, there's an open Mishnah that says that if you have a candle, okay? First of all, taking oil out of the candle is kibbuy. Even Rav Moshe knows that. obviously, right? So, he addresses this in the tshuva. And furthermore, he said, furthermore, the Mishnah says, let's say you develop a system that you have a cup of oil. The cup over here is not big enough to hold all the oil you need to run for the whole Shabbos. So you have oil with a wick, and it's lighting up your dining room. And yeah, and you have another cup that refills the oil as this oil goes down. The Gemara says taking oil out of that cup is also kibui. It's also considered extinguishing. So how does that fit with this whole concept? So Ramosha says, because that oil is miyuchad, that oil was already miyuchad, was designated for this candle. Since it was designated for this candle, it's all considered that we already understand this candle has the power to light for 24 hours. You're now going to limit the koach of the candle by making it be able to go to 20 hours. That's called kibui.
There goes the propane tank,
then. No. So therefore, he says, but the gas that you're getting for your, what's it called, not a yuchad for this fire. There's a lot of things that are running off of that. There's a lot of things running off of this fire. Oh, so it's saying. So there's a lot of things running off of this thing. So it's harder to argue that, what are you going to say? All that gas is here and it's designated that this fire is going to go for 20. No, I mean, if you would leave the fire on, if you leave this little flame on and you have a propane tank, it's going to go for 6 days. No one, that it's definitely not considered miyuchad for this. The question now is, okay, so that's where Moshe's basic svar. That's how he explained it to me, Rabbi Tatna. That's how he was being masber. But the problem is that the grill, like you said, how do you look at that? Because that propane is miyuchad for the fire here. So if you mean that it's like that is to your propane tank in your yard, you know, or you know, so then I hear it much more.
I have like, I think it was like 16. We haven't used it yet. My brother, he's in Detroit, he's busy hopping out with the Russian call there. But anyway, I think it's 12 feet of extension tubing. And it's hot, and he says
to what?
It's okay. Between the propane and
the where's the propane is not miyuchad for the grill, you mean?
No,
the propane for
propane
the house. What?
There are timers.
For the grill.
There are propane timers for the grill.
There are timers also.
Put it like 30 minutes, you turn it on, and then automatically it will turn off.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine, so
that's actually not here,
no? Yeah, that's, yeah.
Here in Florida, so many things,
stoves, it doesn't connect to the grill.
No, your hot water. Hot water is on. My hot water is on the propane.
Gas? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So where do you connect?
So I mean, now most people have instant, you know, hots or whatever. That's a separate issue. Which, by the way, they seem to have put out an instant hot now that's mutter for yontif, apparently. It's a new thing that I didn't look into. What? What is it?
It refills, right? And then,
I don't know exactly, but it doesn't go on because you used it. It's like on
there
a certain.
There's one that our wheelchair is fine with.
Right, oh, yeah? Yeah, there's a certain one that they have now. So that's the Shiloh of the kibui, okay? So, to Lemaisa, I don't think that widely the Oilom is Makabal that was, you know, accepted this Pesach of Ramosha. You let it turn off. Because he himself was pretty, you know, he didn't want to publicize this Pesach. Now, Rabbi Teller says in the family they do it or whatever. And he asked different people different things. The next day after that, I saw Rabbi Shaul Reisman. So I asked him, does the oil go with it? So he was like, you know, there's a lot of limitations. It doesn't apply in every case. You have to really know. And there's meters or this. He was going back and forth with like a lot of different cheshbonos, why it's not so pashut. But he did seem to say that Ramosha said that. He agreed to that. But he said that, you know, you got to really know your system and know how it works to really make sure it works well. So al kopanim, what I would say is that if you have legavi the magen Avram's shayla of should you do kibui versus turning on a new one, I would say do the Ramosha and rather turn off your lower the gas rather than turning on a new fire, because the magen Avram is a chiddush. And Ramosha says on that halacha itself, he argues on the Magen Avraham, so you could argue, you could be sort of on the Ramosha for that. What Ramosha didn't say, I'm not sure we should do.
We grew up with Reb Moshe, and that he was our Paisik in all the communities. He was alive and well, and he was with us, just like Rabbi Tendler's with us. And everything that Rabbi Tendler told you is exactly the way we followed from Reb Moshe. And this is exactly what he told us. This was way before he wrote any tshuvas or shaylos.
Okay, so I'm saying it could be the people that were by him and he asked, whatever. But publicly, he didn't say that. So I don't think that the Olam goes with that across the board of turning off, you know, stoves on Yom Tov for no reason. Just sometimes, like, you know, when you're finished using it, turn it off.
We mentioned that hot water tank. So if it's an electric tank, it's for sure.
Electric tanks that it turns on the fire itself every time. The way that, I don't know how they work, but the way it seems like it works is that it instant there's an element that goes on when you turn on the water. So you're turning on the element to heat up the water.
Today, no. Today is the ways. And the plumbers love putting in the instant water heater.
But when it's delays, delays doesn't matter. The point is you're turning it on.
No, it's a delay. It doesn't, you have water problems.
That's a water tank.
It's not right.
That's a water tank.
Water is that, yes.
I'm talking about instant.
Instant, right away.
Yeah, I'm talking about instant where...
Regular water heaters, Shiloh putting it on.
Regular, when are you a regular water heater? Everyone thinks regular.
You have a good 60-gallon tank.
60-gallon tank, and it's sitting in your laundry room somewhere.
Right.
That's a Shiloh.
Right.
Right.
Tankless.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. That's a Shiloh
Bishel. Tankless is not instant hot either. It takes time for the water to heat up.
That's not the issue. The issue is that when you turn on the water, you're turning on the element of the heater to turn on the water that's coming in through it. The water comes through it. It takes a little bit of time because it has to go up and heat the water. But the point is you're essentially turning on the element when you turn on that instant hot. That's the issue there. It's instantly that you turn on the element. And now it's the water that passes through it. It's going to get hot now. So this stuff happens so fast anyway. Like, we think it's like all delays, and it's so fast. But basically, you're turning on the element. That's really the Shiloh with those. I think that what you're talking about is that cases that they have a tiny tank, they have a small tank, enough for a few cups. And that stuff stays hot. And what happens is, when you take that, so then maybe what happens is, then it refills. And eventually, it goes on every 5 minutes, every 2 minutes, whatever. It goes on constantly. So it's nothing to do with whether or not you took water or you didn't take water. So therefore, you're not doing anything. That element is going on every 2 minutes. Now, it means if you take 6 coffees at once, the last 2 will be cold because the water didn't go back on yet. It only has whatever's in there. And then it turns on.
So that's a tankless
with a delay. But the delay means that it's regardless of what you do. So therefore, that's why there's no issue of turning on the element. The issue there is the bishul, but you're allowed to bring vashel for hot water. So if you have a system like that, that would be okay. We have to figure out what the systems are. A regular instant hot is not mutar yantif, even to take a cup of water for drinking purposes. Because you're turning on the fire.
You put in both. There's a tankless and a small hot water tank. The hot water tank doesn't sign enough for a shower.
Right. So, I don't know exactly how they all work, but that's the concept, okay?
One of the bowl has a small one under the sink just for hot water. That's a thermostat. So each time, you can feel it right away once you taste hot water.
You can't use that on your thing.
Right away start.
Correct, exactly. Because that doesn't want, because you don't want to have that. There's a line. The line for coffee. So you don't. It needs to always be hot. That's different. That's the whole idea. Okay. Okay. So that's kiboy, and that's part of some of the shiles of kiboy, and some of the shiles of havara. I want to discuss one other thing, which to me was a little bit of a chiddush. And it's not as juicy as these other ones, but it's just interesting. Is the Shiloh of Teuchen. And whatever we're going to say regarding Teuchen is a very similar concept to Beurer. But I'm not going to talk about Beurer because it's a little bit more nuanced. Teuchen means grinding. So we already discussed that you're allowed to grind on Yom Tov. And the answer is, technically, you're not allowed to grind on Yom Tov. Because if you remember the first year we discussed, you're not allowed to do malachis, which are before Lisha. You're not allowed to do malachis, which are... involved in preparing the ingredients. It's all in food preparation. So technically, grinding is like preparing the flour. So preparing the flour is not mutter, it's only taking flour and baking it. So technically, toichen is also. So the Rishonim ask Akasha that it says you're allowed to grind spices on Yom Tov. As long as it's the type of spice that you can't do after. So the Rishonim ask this question, are you allowed to grind or are you not allowed to grind? So the Rishonim say is that you're not allowed to grind when that's a big malacha, that's involved in food preparation at a big level. But something which by its nature, by definition, you do as a one-time use, okay? So that's mutter. So therefore, if you want to, even on Shabbos, let's say you want to make a salad, there's certain limitations. How big you're allowed to cut it, you're not allowed to chop it into fine, dice it into vegetables, into fine pieces. On Yom Tov, all that's mutter. You're allowed to cut things for a use in front of you on Yom Tov, even to fine pieces, all that's mutter. The question that I had was, are you allowed to use one of those like peppercorn things on Yom Tov, where you have the peppers and you're grinding it to, in order to create, in order to have the fresh pepper? And also, I don't know how particular people are if they even have those. If they have, if like coffee grinders, like hand by hand, no, they're not.
They're good.
What?
They have those machines.
But they're by their machines usually by hand.
Yeah, there are connoisseurs that do that.
Huh?
There are connoisseurs that do with a hand grinder.
With the coffee.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you would say, especially particularly the pepper thing, it should fit into the rule of the Mirushainim, which is that since by definition it's really for a one-time use. By definition, it's not commercial. Commercially they sold it to you already. Right? So it's obviously by definition it's only for putting it straight into your food. So l'cha'ira should be mutter on Yom Tov to do those, you know, to have that grinder. However, there is a halacha that says it's mutter, but it's only mutter to use a knife. You're not allowed to use a grinder. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says.
Isn't it like squeezing a lemon on food that you're going to eat right away? Isn't it like the same concept?
What?
I'm not comparing one thing to the other, but that's my question. My question is that since you're using it right away for the food that you're using, there should be no limitation on that. But midrabanan, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is, it's a very tough kavdalet, I believe. Says, Dolchin es atavlin kedarkon. You're allowed to mash or grind spices. And then it says, V'ein shirchkin es apilpulin, v'lo es achardul bereichayim shalahem. In their own grinding, shouldn't have a kovdin dechol. So it seems to be that even though technically it should be okay, but to use something which is defined as a reichayim, as a grinder, is asur, because that's getting already approaching some sort of commercial activity. It looks like you're using a similar machine that they would use on a commercial level. So now, is this thing considered Rechaim Shalahem? Or what does he mean? Maybe he means you have outside, you have your commercial big grinder, right, that you use to and what you're going to do is you're going to take three pieces of pepper, you're going to go outside, do your whole thing, and you have enough for your soup. Right? But who says this hand thing, which is made for this purpose, is Rechaim Shalahem? So I didn't find anyone discussing this.
No one answered it?
What?
No one you didn't see any.
I didn't see any svarim to talk about this explicitly. Then when I was learning this, I got a phone call from Rav Daniel Kleiman, who wrote the Sefer Kovetz Halachas. So he asked, so whatever, we discussed something. So he called me and says, oh, what do you hold about this thing? So he basically said exactly what I just said. According to the sugya, really it's mutter, but Rechaim Shalem, and Rechaim Shalem, is this called Rechaim Shalem? Is that called Rechaim Shalem? It's a big suffix. He said, but I think Rav Shmuel said it's also. So
that's a separate device.
Right. In other words, if you would take some peppercorns and you're in the mood of making fresh pepper onto your fish or whatever soup, and you want to go take a hammer, or you want to go take like a, you know, and go put it on the counter and smash them, that's mutter, for sure. But to go use the grinder, it sounds like that's approaching this halacha, that you're not allowed to use a professional grinder on Yom Tov. And this question is that called a professional grinder?
The parts that come with the grinder on the little jar.
Yes, yeah, I'm talking about. I'm saying that's usher. That's not just usher.
No,
even that. So it's funny. So I was learning this with a couple of people, I don't know how, you know, good, whatever, and, you know, I was trying to teach them the halachas. So they were fighting with me, like, it doesn't make sense. It, according to all the guidelines that we say, you know, they come back the next day. I discussed with my wife. Of course it's also, who uses that on Yom Tov? So, the bottom line is that it is a shaila. I think people don't use it. I don't think it's used on Yom Tov. And I think the reason is, even though technically it's made for a one-time use, but since it's a rechayim, it's already considered a grinder, it's considered some sort of machine, you shouldn't use it on Yom Tov. That's an important, important halacha to know. All right, Mr. Shem, as we approach Yom Tov, we should be zeichet to keep the Yom Tov properly, with all the halachas, and be zeichet, so 6 hour avoid.